This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Time to be productive. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. As the economy was hitting a slower pace during the first 3 months of the year, businesses were cutting back on employee hours. What that did is drive up productivity to a higher-than-expected annual pace of 2.2%. To another number out this morning, pending sales of previously owned homes. The number fell 1% in March, as expected. Sprint, Nextel, and Clearwire have been working on a big deal. The companies will combine their wireless broadband units into a single $14.5 billion company called Clearwire. As Marketplace's Amy Scott reports, they're getting a little help from some powerful friends.
The deal brings together some of the biggest names in technology. The likes of Google, Intel, Comcast, and Time Warner Cable are expected to invest more than $3 billion in the venture.
It's a partnership of companies that need each other.
Roger Entner follows the wireless industry for IAG Research. He says Intel needs help rolling out its WiMAX technology. Sprint Nextel needs partners to make its $5 billion investment in WiMAX worthwhile. And the cable companies need allies to compete with telecom giants AT&T and Verizon. What consumers will get is a nationwide wireless network up to 5 times faster than traditional wireless, for now.
It's an endless arms race, and the Verizons and the AT&Ts of the world are not idly standing by and not upgrading their networks as well.
The deal is expected to close by the end of the year. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The Dow is down 64 points to 12,956. The NASDAQ is down 6 points to 2,477. The S&P 500 down 7 to 1,411. A higher close in Europe today. Markets were mixed in Asia. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding medical research lately. Last month, a well-known journal accused drug giant Merck of ghostwriting papers about Vioxx. A study out today finds many scientific journals omit money trail disclosures. Janet Babin reports from Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
The study from Duke University looked at research published in 2006 on coronary stents, those tiny tubes doctors insert to open up your arteries. It tallied up how often researchers reported their funding sources and any potential conflicts of interest. Turns out that about 3/4 of all the stent papers left that information out. Lead author Kevin Weinfurt was shocked. He says the financials are essential. They help lay people and the scientific community evaluate the research.
Who funds the study and the financial relationships of investigators can sometimes bias how the study is conducted or interpreted.
That's not to say that any of the stent studies are biased. Weinfurt says this just points out that scientific journals and researchers need to adopt uniform rules about reporting financial data. Weinfurt's study was funded in part by the National Institutes of Health. In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Video game publisher Take-Two is counting $500 million in global sales. The big score is all thanks to the debut week of criminal action game Grand Theft Auto 4. Take-Two says it marks one of the most lucrative entertainment events in history.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. By Advanta. Advanta salutes small business, the brave ones, the risk takers, all those who chase a dream and make their own way. And by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value.
Ready, set, food fight.
In Haiti, riots over food prices.
Limiting purchases of rice.
Winter wheat's up 25 cents. Corn.
Food Fight is our look at the global food crisis. Higher food prices are chomping at our wallets, though for some, the consequences of the crisis haven't been all bad. For instance, certain small farmers in the U.S., their crops are fetching record prices. Land values are up, too. Commentator and farmer Richard Oswald says the salad days have been a long time coming.
I am descended from countless generations of farmers. There is no other job I am better suited to do than this. Other than the biblical command to go forth and multiply, the greatest force in my life has been the instinct to grow food. After 40 years of long hours and lower middle class living, I'm suddenly earning a fair return on labor and investment. That's without government intervention. Now I have money for health care and retirement and for travel. In the last 5 years, my land and crops have more than doubled in value. I've experienced wealth the likes of which I have never seen before. Money seems to flow from my fields in an unending river. But I'm a little frightened. Farms held by the same bloodlines for generations are selling to outside investors or to corporate farms. Liquidation dissolves friendships and families in a sudden surge of riches. Not all boats float on this rising tide. Higher commodity prices have improved my life, but they place a strain on those who must buy the things I grow. Small dairies and livestock farms are already financially stressed as feed costs eclipse profits. Still, high as the prices I receive, the cost of the grain in a single bowl of breakfast cereal is only about 2 cents. All the things I buy, like fertilizer, petroleum, and farm implements, now cost more than ever. Biofuels are blamed for higher food costs, but without that market for my surplus grain, I'd be trapped in a death spiral of rising expenses and negative income. If market prices should suddenly return to what I was paid just 3 short years ago, my lifelong career of feeding the hungry would be cut short by bankruptcy. I continue to farm, even though selling my cornucopia would yield a golden parachute. I have no desire to bail out, now or ever, because no matter how high I may fly, I always return to the earth I love.
Richard Oswald grows corn and soybeans on his farm in northwest Missouri and writes for a website called Daily Yonder. Listen for the next installment of Food Fight tomorrow. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. American Public Media.